Welcome to the State of the Gamer podcast, and today we're going to be talking about our predictions for the Game Developers Choice Awards. On the show today, we have the Seriously Weird, Nazir.
Howdy.
Lady who is spray painting a computer case lavender, Larea.
Hello.
And the super hot, Jake.
Super hello.
And I'm your host, Troy. All right, let's hop into our predictions. All right, so for the Game Developers Choice Awards this year, there are 10 awards, and we're going to go through them in reverse order so that we can end with the big one being the Game of the Year. So the first category we have is Best Visual Art, and the Best Visual Art Award recognizes the overall excellence of visual art in a game, including, but not limited to, animation, modeling, art direction, textures, etc. Not limited to, etc. is what that description actually says. All right, so the nominees for this year were Persona 5, Cuphead, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Night in the Woods. Fellers, what do we think for best visual art?
So I know Cuphead is like totally really well done, and it has this really unique style of, you know, Saturday morning cereal bowl in front of the TV cartoons that we remember when we were, you know, kids. But
if you lived in the 1930s.
Okay. I watched a lot of the 1930s cartoons when I was a kid. So, yeah. You know, anyway, but checking out Night in the Woods really piqued my curiosity. And looking into it, I think I dig that art style the most. So I feel like, personally.
Oh, wow.
Night in the Woods is top for me, at least.
On your sheet here, you had Cuphead.
I know, I changed my mind at the last second.
Okay, all right.
I reserve the right to change my mind.
All right, okay. So we will just delete that previous entry. All right, so we're going to have Jake's vote for Night in the Woods. I think, honestly, I just can't go without saying that Cuphead is just the most visually stunning game this year that wasn't photorealistic graphics. So I have to just say Cuphead 100% is my vote.
Cuphead is also my vote because I watched some documentaries, videos on that, and how much dedication they put in to making that beautiful art. I can't even imagine picking anything else. So,
all right, Nasir, what is your pick for best visual art? And it can't be your own hair.
Oh, man. Well, I was actually torn between Horizon Zero Dawn and Cuphead. Cuphead, I think, is going to be the popular choice. I think that's what's going to win. But I, out of all of those options, Horizon Zero Dawn, first time I saw that, it was like,
it's beautiful.
Wow. This, and it wasn't like, hey, this is on a 4K monitor or anything like that. It was like, wow, this is breathtaking. So that was the effect it had on me. That's what I would go for personally, but I think they'll probably choose Cuphead.
Now, are we going to count your vote as...
You're going to count it as Horizon.
Horizon.
But yeah. I'm going to say that it's probably going to be Cuphead.
Okay. So, the actual competition we're doing is who can predict the most categories right, but I think we're all going to have our own categories where we can't, in good faith, put our name down for a certain title.
Yeah.
So the end tally, you know, after the awards actually happen for the Game Developers Choice, will be who predicted the most categories right, whether or not you voted for what you thought would win or what you hoped would win.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be Cuphead, but yeah, personally,
probably going to be Cuphead.
I think Night in the Woods is also a very unique art style.
For sure. All right, so the Best Technology Award recognizes the overall excellence of technology in a game, including, but not limited to, graphics programming, artificial intelligence, networking, physics, etc. The nominees are Destiny 2, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, Assassin's Creed Origins, Horizon Zero Dawn, and The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. Nasir, what is your pick for...
You already know what my pick's going to be. It's going to be Horizon Zero Dawn.
All right, so Horizon Zero Dawn.
I was actually torn, though, between that and Hellblade, just because of the fact that with Hellblade, there is a lot they put into it, just behind the scenes and everything of that nature. There's a lot that you can see technically. But Horizon Zero Dawn, the factor of you being able to take a part of a creature that you're trying to trap and use it on it, that's pretty outstanding, I'd have to say.
It's pretty
I've done
cool.
that in Nier Automata.
Yeah. But,
I ripped off a gigantic robot's arm and hacked into it and then cut it in half with its own arm.
Yeah, it's. I saw that, yeah.
Jake, what would your pick be for best technology?
I think I'm going to agree with Nazir on Horizon. I think I've done a lot of research on the Hellblade, and it looks fantastic, and there's a lot of technical expertise going into that, especially because they incorporated mocap. So I think that for what they've achieved with Hellblade, it took a lot more technology-wise to get it looking so good and so smooth with all the mocap. Horizon Zero Dawn, I think as a whole, caught more than what Hellblade got, though.
All right, Larea, what's your pick for the best technology?
I'm going to have to go with Hellblade for all the aforementioned reasons,
mm-hmm.
other than Horizon Zero Dawn.
Right, nice.
Well, that's my vote.
I liked the technology, the game loop and stuff of The Legend of Zelda, where if there was a box that had an apple in it and you set that box on fire, then you got a baked apple out of it, you know, like just mm-hmm. all the polish they put into that game. But I am also going to say Hellblade, Send You a Sacrifice for best tech. All right, so the next category we have is best VR/AR game. And I could not find a description for this anywhere on the GDC website, but I think it's pretty obvious what it means. The best virtual reality or augmented reality experience. So the nominees are Super Hot VR, Star Trek Bridge Crew, Lone Echo, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, and The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim VR for some reason. All right, Nasir, your pick for best VR/AR game.
I'm going to have to go with Lone Echo. Most of the other ones are just kind of on, but Lone Echo just seemed to be one of those things that several people have loved. Star Trek, you have to be more of a fan of Star Trek to really kind of dive in deep, and same with Resident Evil, Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, and Super Hot just kind of off to the side. So that's my opinion.
All right, Jake?
I'm very torn. All of these are fantastic choices except for maybe Skyrim, because it's not really built for VR. Yeah. I haven't tried it though, so I don't have the, you know, personal experience on it, but it's going to be Lone Echo, and I think I got a feeling that Resident Evil 7 is probably close, because the environment in which they put you in there is very, it's got probably the highest level of polish I've ever seen for a VR game. It really hits the dark tone, and it looks, I've heard stories of people waking up from falling asleep with their headset on and waking up thinking they're in this terrifying house and then panicking and actually broke their headset. So,
all right. How the heck do you fall asleep playing a VR horror game?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I want a good answer.
Probably too much pizza.
Pizza put you to sleep.
Lethargy.
Pizza spiked with melatonin while you're playing a horror game.
They had a turkey pizza, and they had some Barbadol or whatever.
Somehow we'll assume that makes it okay.
You have to be very relaxed if you're playing a horror game.
I know,
VR.
Seriously.
So it probably took some meds, like you said, and that's probably what happened.
How do you, in the world, do you fall asleep?
They had
a
cold.
Haunted...
They were taking NyQuil. I don't know. It was something like that.
Jeez. Okay, anyway. Aside from people falling asleep in Resident Evil 7, Larea, what is your pick for best VR/AR game?
Well, you didn't actually say which one.
It was Lone Echo.
Lone Echo.
Oh, I'm not very familiar with the VR games, but just from hearsay, it seems like Lone Echo is a very polished game. Good story, good visuals, so that's going to be my vote.
And I have to say that Lone Echo does just look amazing, and I feel like what Jake said about it, as well as what I've seen about it, as well as it winning Best VR at Game Awards and both VR awards at DICE, I feel like it's kind of a sure shot that Lone Echo was the VR game of the year. So we'll go ahead and say that and just move on to Best Narrative. The Best Narrative Award recognizes the overall excellence of writing in a game, including but not limited to story, plot construction, dialogue, branching narratives, etc. The nominees are Night in the Woods, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, What Remains of Edith Finch, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Nasir, go ahead and kick us off with what you think best narrative will be.
They had some really good nominees here. It was actually a little difficult.
Strong year for narrative games.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to say Hellblade. Personally, out of all the things from all the other games and diving deep into it, Hellblade seemed to be the one, for me in the very least, that really messed with the normal construction of a narrative. Everything else is like, okay, here you choose a different option or something else that's been kind of done multiple times. That was actually the one, Hellblade was the one that actually did something a little different, and I liked it.
The plot is so interwoven to the audio design and gameplay mechanics that it really does create that story. Whether you want to get immersed in it or not, mm-hmm. you will get immersed in it if you're playing it. So, mm-hmm. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that Senua, Hellblade, looking into it, I found a whole that the narrative is kind of voices inside your head yelling at you, criticizing you, mm-hmm. telling you, you need to get better at this. I think that that is...
Rude.
A really interesting. No, I think that's a great motivator because, like, okay, you know, if I have somebody hovering over my shoulder in my head yelling at me when I'm doing something wrong, I'm like, okay, I better get better. Sounds like a heck of a motivator, but I'm curious because I don't have any experience with the game itself. But out of all of them, that one spoke to me the most as that would be interesting and innovative storytelling.
Lorea?
I'm going to have to go with Hellblade as well. With everything, it just seems like that story really pulls you in and makes you feel like you were there rather than just watching something happen. So I'm going to go with Hellblade.
All right, well, I was going to go with Hellblade, but now I don't want to seem like a bandwagon person. So I'm going to say Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
What?
What? Killing Nazis? How hard is it to tell that story?
Well, so, I mean, I played the first one.
Okay.
Wolfenstein, The New Order, and the storytelling and the character arcs and the acting is just amazing. I doubt this will win. I'm going to be honest. I doubt it will win best narrative. I'm fairly certain either Hellblade or What Remains of Edith Finch will win. But actually, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to say What Remains of Edith Finch, even though I think it's going to be Hellblade, but I don't want to be the same as everyone else.
Yeah, I was teetering on the edge between those two, but...
Me as well.
Our next award is the Best Handheld / Mobile Game Award, which recognizes the best overall game commercially released on any handheld or mobile platform. So this would include the Nintendo DS as well as Android iOS releases. The nominees we have are... Reigns, Her Majesty, Hidden Folks, Monument Valley 2, Gorgoa, and Bury Me, My Love. Nasir, the Nasiriously Weird. What do you think your pick is for the best mobile game?
Thank you, Troy, the host.
You're welcome.
I actually was looking into this. My wife actually plays Hidden Folks. So she actually played a little bit of that. She was like, yeah, that's okay. So I looked around at a lot of this. Bury Me, My Love is my pick.
Yeah.
I like the emotional set they have with it. It seemed to be a lot more than just fluff or just a repeat of something that was already done, like Monument Valley 2. Obviously, I had one, so it's just the same thing. but yeah, that's my pick. Bury Me, My Love.
All right. Jake?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Gorgoa. I'm willing to admit I don't know enough about these because I don't usually play the mobile games, but
yeah.
From what I watched, Gorgoa looks like the one that just speaks to me more as interesting and engaging puzzle game. Very unique. Just from watching the video, the way you go through the gameplay, solving the puzzles looks very, I think I said it before, unique.
For sure. I'll just get mine out of the way right now. Mine is also Gorgoa for the reasons Jake just mentioned. And Lorea, go ahead and wrap us up for best mobile game.
I am going to vote for Reigns, My Majesty. When I looked into it, I just really liked the art style and the simplicity of it. It just seemed like a really fun game. But I kind of have a feeling that Monument Valley 2 is going to be it, because the visuals on that game are really nice. The first one actually had a story, apparently, so you know, it seems like a it could be a compelling mobile game.
For sure. And I think all of us in this room don't really have the most experience with those particular titles, but knew a little bit about some of them to actually make somewhat of an informed decision. But hey, you know what? We're not giving out these awards. We're just guessing. The Innovation Award recognizes games that demonstrate true innovation, advance the state of the art, and push the boundaries of games as an expressive medium. In essence, these are games that are leading the way as the medium continues to evolve. The nominees are Gorogoa, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, What Remains of Edith Finch, Everything, and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So, Nasir, go ahead and kick us off for Innovation Award. If anyone votes for PUBG, by the way, I will just delete your name off this list.
Yeah, I'll smack right? you out of
That's
the room.
An automatic disqualification mm-hmm. for the Innovation
Award. I will smack you out of the room.
So I have a little bit of commentary, as I do with all.
Shocker.
Right? So here's the thing. I'm going to be the negative Nancy about this, and none of them actually were that innovative to me. For varying degrees. Let's knock out the big one. PUBG. Sorry. Just because you did a battle royale game.
You say DayZ with more steps?
Was the same guy. It was
same guy.
Same guy did one of the guys who did one of the
so after taking everybody's money, he hit the reset button and
did his own thing. So there's that. Zelda, it's Zelda. I mean, you're going to be following a traditional Zelda plot line or concept with things. There's going to be things that will be different, just like with all the other games, but it's still Zelda.
Yep.
Puzzle game like Gorgona. What Remains of Edith Finch, I was going to originally pick that one, but it seemed to me like a combo of Myst, an old point-and-click mystery game, and Blackwood Crossing, where a sister is trying to find her brother. But she has to go through all these weird paths. Like, she goes onto a train and then goes into a treehouse while she's in the train. Huh. And that's kind of what it looked like to me, so it didn't really impress me. Everything is my pick, but it's very much like some of the other games I've seen, like Spore and a few other things. But you're getting to minute particles. You're getting to different creatures, even though you're, like, start off as, like, a bear rotating kind of weird, but but whatever the case, it looked to me to be the most innovative, and all I'm going to say is, why isn't Hellblade here? That's my thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point as well. Jake?
Yeah, I'm actually right along the lines with Nasir there, but I actually, I'm looking at everything as yes, it is pretty innovative in that. Yes, you're somersaulting bear at first, or somersaulting duck, I think, was, you know, I saw goose and I was happy about that.
Honk, 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 honk.
But when you dive down to that, like, suddenly you're a strand of DNA, and I'm like, that's incredible. But you're doing it on the fly. Now, the problem with Spore is that it almost changes its engine the whole time. This is all interweaved, and you dive up whenever you feel like it, you dive down deeper, and well, it's great. I'm like, okay, but I can see it being entertaining for all of 10 hours, and then I'd move on to something else.
10 hours?
At the most, okay? I'll yeah. caveat that.
Well,
you got to be 10
hours of somersaulting bears?
No,
well,
you
can
more be a ladybug.
Right.
And
grass.
You can be can you
be
a bird?
Grass.
Trees.
You can literally watch grass
grow. You
can
be a fence post, but could you be a bird? A flying one.
Probably.
Not a rolling one.
Rolling through the
Not
air.
Not one
about that
just says gobble gobble. I want to actually soar.
Right. Yeah, I want to actually fly in it, because that would be cool. But,
oh, God.
But out of all the picks.
So everything.
Everything kind of right. hits the criteria.
Larea?
I am also in
Seriously?
The same boat.
You're a somersaulting bear.
No. So, okay. here's the thing. So, yes. I think this game is not polished, not worth playing for very long, but here's the thing. It's the only game that seemed to do something different.
Right.
And like, you can be anything in the game at any time you want. The ideas in the game were innovative. It just needs better direction. So this isn't about, but this isn't the most polished game award. This is innovation. And true. All the other games on this list, from what I could see, didn't really push the boundaries. And that's what this award is about, pushing the boundaries, not creating the best game. So that's why everything gets my vote.
For everything you both have already said, that was one of my reasons for it as well. But here's one other thing to consider, to be fair with everything, is that if you are switching between all these different types of living creatures and everything like that, think of how much animation you would have to have had for everything. Yeah. And then imagine that game on your computer.
Right. That's, I think, why there's less polish.
Exactly. And, exactly. Well, and I'm gonna be fair with that. It was like, because I originally was like, what the heck's going on with this, like, bear?
Yeah.
When I become,
like, wait,
same.
Oh, you're going down to like atoms and all. Okay, you know what? I'll give you that.
It's just a Russian circus bear that somersaults all over the place and mm-hmm. escaped.
It kind of gave me a No Man's Sky vibe, where the idea of it is awesome, just it needs more. It needs to be fleshed out and given a better purpose. But the idea is solid. So,
yeah, usually yeah. there's a reward or a satisfaction feeling from playing it, not just, silly bear rolling around.
Yeah.
Look at that. And I'm going to be a tick on the bear now, and I'm going to make a whole swarm of these ticks, and they're going to run around. And then I'm going to go into their cells and be DNA.
All right, like what's said, yours, Troy?
I don't know, man. You guys did not sell me on everything.
Well, you didn't actually look into it, did you?
I did. I did. I saw it with you. I saw.
You saw. I saw, like,
somersaulting
20 seconds.
Bears. I just feel.
Yeah,
it's
but
all
you
being
didn't
narrated
actually.
Also,
well,
on...
to be fair, to be 100% fair, this is our own personal choices.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
Honestly, Troy, I want to hear what you honestly think.
But it's also just another thing to remember. It's being narrated by somebody who's talking about the very concept of identity itself in a philosophical manner. So it's supposed to be an introspective, thought-provoking thing.
I agree.
It's an experience.
It's innovative. And I think we're going to move on, but I'm just going to say What Remains of Edith Finch, because I think it had some... Edith Finch. The fishy one.
Fishy one.
Let's move on. Best Design. This award recognizes the overall excellence of design in a game, including, but not limited to, gameplay mechanics, puzzles, play balancing, scenarios, etc. Super Mario Odyssey, Horizon Zero Dawn, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, again, I will boot you out of this room, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Nier Automata or Automata. Either way, I'm going to be wrong, so just work with me. Nasir, take us away.
Is it even a question? Horizon Zero Dawn. That's going to be my vote.
All right, Jake.
I'm going to disagree with Nasir pretty hard on this one. I haven't played it, but and I do want to play Horizon Zero Dawn. But Nier Automata for me was a fantastic experience. Picking it up, it took me back to like 20 different games in the arcade all rolled into one, with beautiful visuals, beautiful music. The combat's fun and engaging, and the story it keeps me wanting more because I'm curious as to what's going on. So, I'm sold on Nier Automata for that one.
All right, Nier Automata for Jake. Larea?
I'm going to go with Super Mario Odyssey.
Super Mario Odyssey!
Because I loved everything about that game. The puzzles, the music, the art style... everything. It was just so well done, so cute. I really liked that game. So that's my vote.
Awesome. Well, this is the first category we've all picked something different, because I'm going to say The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, because this talks about gameplay mechanics and puzzles, play balancing and scenarios, and I just think all the shrines, the puzzles, screw the Koroks, but everything else was... and I 100% of this game, so I'm allowed to say that. I collected 900 freaking Koroks.
You dropped the rock on their head, I hope.
Yes.
Ooh. Hello.
Yeah, the last Korok you got, you had to wait.
Oh, okay. All right. So my one gripe is that, I accidentally I was in the habit of shooting. So there are these Korok puzzles where there's three apple trees and you have to remove the apples from two of the trees, or I'm sorry, one of the tree, to have the apples in the same position as the other two. And I accidentally had a bomb arrow equipped when I went to go shoot the apple off the tree. So I just blew up all three trees and couldn't really finish the puzzle. So I had to figure out how to cheat the mechanics to get the trees to grow back. And just, I'm not even going to get into it. So that was a little bit of a glitch. And it was part of the DLC is because I had the teleporting portal next to the tree. And that it like cached that spot so the world wouldn't age, which means the tree wouldn't grow back. It's supposed to, but the tree wouldn't grow back because I had that teleport portal sitting there as my DLC item, and it broke. But anyway,
on your last Korok.
On the last Korok. 899 Koroks. And I was like, I basically did it, but I didn't do... Googling, how do you get a tree to grow back?
You find results. Song of Storms, dummy.
I have no idea what that means.
Oh, it's from Zelda 64, Ocarina of Time. You grow plants.
This was my first Zelda.
Okay. Well, that's great. So I'm glad you have such a high opinion of it, because it is a fantastic game.
It is a good game. I think it did have the best design. I liked the polish.
I was going to say, honestly, real quick, I agree with you, Larea, though. Mario Odyssey was up there for me, but I'm really surprised Cuphead wasn't here.
Yeah.
That was, out of all these, was like, these are good options. I'm totally down with that. But I'm surprised Cuphead wasn't there.
Gameplay mechanics and puzzles. Cuphead was, it was I guess really it was not all about puzzles. The art. Because gameplay-wise.
It's relatively simple.
That is true.
It's difficult, but it's simple mechanics. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's the overall design of the game, though. And that includes those other elements, but it's not necessarily including a
more complex
game. Is going to require a lot more design decisions and development integrations between all of these elements.
They were nominated for several other categories, so I think it's okay.
Fair enough.
But I,
yeah.
I
and they have won many awards already, so I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, so best debut.
Speaking of
Cuphead, the Best Debut Game Award recognizes the game from any development studio which released its first publicly available title. Nominees are Team Cherry for Hollow Knight, Sidebar Games for Golf Story, Studio MDHR for Cuphead, Infinite Fall for Night in the Woods, and Jason Roberts / Buried Signal, sorry Jason, for Gorgoa. Nasir. Cuphead. All right. Jake.
Cuphead.
Larea.
Cuphead.
Awkward silence. And I'm going to go for Cuphead. That was easy.
Wait. What? How about all the others where you were like, no, I don't want to actually, you know, jump on the bandwagon here and blah, 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 blah.
I think it's a clear choice.
That okay. one's clear. I mean.
Although, what about Night in the Woods?
Night in the Woods is a close second for me. And I really wanted to say that, but.
Cuphead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Infinite Fall. Studio MDHR.
They spent so
it.
Many years developing Cuphead and all this hard work on it. And it really shows in the quality. And if they get it, I would be happy for them. And I'd say you really knocked that one out of the park. Well deserved.
All right. The next category we have is Best Audio. And the Audio Award recognizes the overall excellence of audio in a game, including, but not limited to, sound effects, musical composition, sound design, and orchestration, etc. The nominees are Cuphead, Nier Automata, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Horizon Zero Dawn. Nasir, is it Horizon Zero Dawn?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry. Nasir.
I'm upset.
What's up?
Okay, so I guess I'm going to have to explain this. I was figuring we would have to anyway.
Apparently.
Hellblade.
Okay.
How much work went into the sound to actually really immerse someone into it? And they're the only ones that actually did the special technique for recording with two mics. So that way it feels like you are in that environment. I mean, you have to use headphones for it. You can use stereo, but you have to kind of make some tweaks in order for it to actually hear things properly.
I keep forgetting what it's called.
Binaural.
So they did banana audio, so that's Nasir's pick. All right, Jake.
So Cuphead did a lot of impressive stuff, especially bringing together an old-timey band to play all that music. But from what I'm hearing of Hellblade, not just from Eunice here, from research and everything that I've been doing, it sounds like that experience that I'd really like. You know, like I want that in my ears when I play a game. That's okay. I was intending that to be funny.
I want that in my ears.
Yeah, just you're getting the experience of the environment around you and then all of these intrusive voices. And the whole concept is incredibly brilliant to me. And I think that that's, it's almost like an innovative in audio design as well, that you don't really get out of very many games. So,
all right. Two votes for Hellblade. Lorea.
Yeah, Hellblade.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not my vote.
Sorry.
I was going to say.
I jumped the gun.
Hellblade seemed like a very good choice, but I love me some Cuphead.
Knew it.
So I'm picking Cuphead because I could listen to that soundtrack all day, and not just the music, but all the sound effects and everything combined, I think just really pulls you into that time period. And so I think they did a really good job.
Cuphead it is. All right. For me, this was a struggle because this category includes sound effects, sound design, and music. And like in other award shows, sound effects and sound design are separate from music. So this category has them both together, and that's why it's hard. Because I think Hellblade 100% is the best sound design. But I am going to go with Cuphead for the musical composition.
Surprised no one picked Nier Automata.
Me too. I'm actually surprised.
I wanted to, but it didn't really... The music meshes very well with the game. The sound effects are all fantastic, but it doesn't stand out as much as the other options. And I've actually played Nier Automata. I haven't played Hellblade. But it doesn't stand out as much as the concepts and all the integration going on with the other ones. So,
all right. So the final award for the Game Developer's Choice will be the Game of the Year. The Game of the Year award recognizes the choice of game developers for the overall best game release. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, For Some Reason, Nier Automata, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Super Mario Odyssey!
Just a good Mario.
I've only 100%ed it, so I've heard it a lot. Nasir.
So, I had a rough time. I actually did a little bit more research than I probably should have. I narrowed it down to three, and I'm going to say what my top one is, but Super Mario Odyssey sold 9.07 million units. You've got Horizon Zero Dawn, 7.6 mil. And Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, 6.7 mil. Those three, I felt, really make it hard because it's hitting several different demographics there or different groups. I'm going to go with Horizon. Yes, I know, fanboy here. I figure, though, it's probably going to be Super Mario Odyssey. But I'm going to say Horizon Zero.
All right. That'll be amazing for Horizon to win a Game of the Year. Because so far, Breath of the Wild has taken all the Game of the Year for the big award shows. I think individual magazines have given awards out to other games, obviously. But in terms of the big ones, it's pretty much been a sweep from Zelda. So, Jake.
True.
I'd really like to be able to say Nier Automata. I love that game. A lot of fun. Everything about it is enjoyable. I have this suspicion that it's going to be The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Regardless of sales numbers, I think that one, I don't know, it's a toss-up between that and Mario. It's going to be one of those two, I think. But if I were a betting man, I'd say Legend of Zelda.
I also think that The Legend of Zelda is going to win. I'm not sure, out of these, which I actually think should win, because I think Legend of Zelda, Horizon Zero Dawn, Super Mario Odyssey, and Nier Automata are all amazing games. So my personal pick, I can't even. So I'm just going to go with Legend of Zelda.
Sure. So for me, I was trying to think. Now, the panel for GDC is actually just game developers or people who own game development companies. So it's different from the Game Awards or DICE that have a lot of industry or media people. This is actually just game developers or people who work at game companies that produce games. So I was trying to think, for a lot of these, would it be any different? And I thought about it, and I do not think so, actually. So I'm going to say Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I think what will sell it, even though it's developers who are voting on these, is, again, that level of polish of all the seeming simplicity of the mechanics and the physics in that game, yet how interwoven they are into this cohesive ecosystem, especially like just the tiniest of details. And it's like, yep, they thought of that. It's in there. Aside from petting dogs, you can pretty much do whatever you think you would need to do. So I definitely have to say Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. All right, so that is going to wrap up our discussion about the Game Developers Choice Awards. And I think this was fun for a couple of reasons. One, this show, the plan was for it to start late last year. That didn't happen for a variety of reasons. So this is a good opportunity with these two award shows, DICE and GDC, to like really get into some of the big titles last year before the big titles for 2018 come out and we focus on those. So I'm glad these award shows are taking place now and we get to have these big discussions about them. But nevertheless, thank you for listening to the State of the Gamer podcast. You can find us online at stateofthegamer.com and on social media at facebook.com/stateofthegamer as well as twitter.com/stateofthegamer. And if you like what we're trying to do on this show and want to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/stateofthegamer. Thank you, Luke. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.